Thanks, Ed. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Well, welcome. Yeah. Thank you, Wasting. That was awesome. A couple of great songs there, and wow, what an awesome time just to worship God and just be still. Be still before the Lord. Worship Him. Worship together. And that's what it's all about, just being here with the community of God's people and just praising and lifting up God's name and just focusing on Him. And thank you, team. Thank you, AV team. And you know, we sometimes focus on so many different things during worship, but it's all about Christ. It's all about God. It's all about bringing Him glory. And thank you, team. Thank you. So as you can tell, you know, there was a sense at the end there, you know, we're just quiet and peace, and we rest in Christ. And today's sermon, I just kind of wanted a standalone sermon, and Eric's going to preach next week before we get on to other things in July. But today, I was just thinking about the concept of Sabbath rest. What is Sabbath all about in Scripture? Sometimes we know, like, the Old Testament command, you know, keep the Sabbath day, observe the Sabbath day. What does that actually mean? What does it mean for the church? And, you know, hey, you know, it's summertime, right? So, like, half the pews are empty. People are traveling all over the world. It's summertime, a little time of rest, R&R, relaxation, right? And some of you are like, no, I'm still going to school, right? Who's still taking classes right now? Anybody still... Ed's taking classes. Anybody still working hard in the summer? You know, it's that time to hopefully rest a little bit, relax. Those of us with real jobs, we don't really do that, but we wait for our vacation. We wait for our time to get away. And there are times and seasons where we really need rest and just a day to stop working and serve God and serve the Lord and just focus on Him and recharge. And that's sort of the element of Sabbath. But how do we understand this? You know, there's this Old Testament. We don't observe the Sabbath anymore, technically, because we'd be here on Saturday because the Jews, you know, and you guys can see your friends and sometimes in the neighborhoods, you know, the Jewish people walking to their temples on Saturday, right? You've seen that? Some of them don't drive, right? Where I used to live over east, I had a very Orthodox Jewish synagogue, and so you know you saw them doing their thing But how do we think of Sabbath? How do we think of rest? How do we think of this concept of the Christian life now with Sabbath? And so let's take a look. So let's pop open you can follow in the Bible. I'm going to be jumping around, but it'll be on the screen as well. So what is this concept of Sabbath? What is this? All right, so let's look at Exodus chapter 20, a very good place to start, right? Back in the Old Testament, Exodus 20, starting in verse 8. Now, God's command to His people of Israel says this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. All right, so there it is. All right, so there we have it right there. All right, so there it is. We have God creating the world 6 days. He set this example from the beginning. Man and women didn't do this. We didn't come up with the Sabbath. God actually had this example from the beginning. He stopped. He rested. Of course, God doesn't need to rest. He's God, right? But He set up this model where He rested on the seventh day. And so the Old Testament Israelites, as God's people, as He selected, were supposed to keep the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days they were to work, and the seventh day they were to rest from their work and focus on God, each other. And this is a very serious thing. In fact, if you were found working on the Sabbath day, trying to get ahead, trying to do a little work, it was so serious. And this is shocking. It's shocking to me when I read it. We won't go there, but it's elsewhere in the law, the Old Testament. It says that a guy was working on the Sabbath, and the Israelites found him, and they literally put him to death. He's like, whoa, they put him to death for working on the Sabbath, you know? And so anybody who goes to work today, I'm watching you, you know? No, I mean, and we're like, wow, that seems so, woo, like God would do that to people? And like, well, remember, listen, we got to remember, God is holy, we're not, and actually, we all deserve death because of our sin, right? And I was just staring at that verse and I was saying, wow, God is so holy. He says, I am holy, I am perfect, and He is good. We're not. And He says, look, if I brought you into my promise to save you, you're going to treat me as holy. Because he is so pure and good. And to say no to God is an offense of death. In fact, you say, well, that's terrible. Well, I'm like, we all know this, though, as Christians. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. One sin from Adam and Eve separated them from God forever. They knew, God said, if you go against me, and I love you, God says, I created you, I gave you life in this wonderful world, it's in a sense at rest, and you have this relationship with me. If you choose to go against me, you're going to be separated from me from eternity with my judgment, eternal separation. And Adam and Eve knew that, and they still decided to rebel and disobey God. And God gave them death, right? But this wonderful God who has compassion and mercy and love, he said, you know what, I'm going to send, though, out of my love for you guys, I still want to save you. I still want to save people who will have me. I'm going to send someone to die in your place. And we know that's Jesus. I'm going to send someone who's going to take your death away by dying as a substitute for you. And that's Jesus Christ, right? But we know, so we know that God hates sin. He hates evil. And he's holy. And he was showing Israel and he was showing the world that he is holy. That they cannot treat him as unholy. And we know there were other death penalties as well. You know, for adultery and stuff like that, there was a death penalty. You know, it is a mercy of God that we don't, you know, practice that today. We deserve death. It's worthy of death. But God, Jesus took that penalty away on the cross. But this Sabbath day is so holy to Israel. And if, guys, if you remember the story, remember when Israel was saved out of Egypt. Remember, God saved them out of Egypt and miraculously led them through the Red Sea. And remember, they didn't have a lot of food and they started complaining. So God started providing food for them, you know, birds, manna. But God said something. Every morning they were to collect the manna, the food. They were to collect food and have it for that day. But they weren't supposed to have any food. They weren't supposed to collect any food on the Sabbath. Okay? The Sabbath is a rest, right? And God would take care of them. And God would provide enough food for them to have enough food to carry over the Sabbath day. They were to have enough food for that. And so God would take care of them. He said, just trust me, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you on the day that you don't work. And that was that Old Testament Israel, that nation state, God was going to take care of them and bless them for keeping the Sabbath. And that was his relationship with them. And they would focus on him, stop working, trust him. And so we look at this concept of Sabbath. Like, how do we think about this? Does God hate work? Is Sabbath the ultimate? Well, and you look at this and you say, look, 6 days God worked the world. He created this world, trees, animals, octopus, you know, Venus fly traps, all this creative stuff that he made in this world, right? And then he rested, although it's not like God's like, I'm so tired, I need a little hammock and stuff and just lay out in heaven. God's not doing that, but he's showing he's satisfied with his work and he rests. And he just looks at his work and he slows down. And I think for Israel, it was a day where they could really focus on God, build their relationship up with God, worship him with their family, with their community. They would be focused on God and they would serve him. They would have food. God would take care of them. And I think it also is showing work is not ultimate. God's ultimate, right? 6 days they labor. And remember this, guys. Work is not a bad thing. Work came before sin. Remember, God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, have children, and then have dominion over the earth. Subdue it. Take care of the garden. That was all before sin. So work is not a bad thing. Our work is really hard now because of sin. That was after we fell. But work's not a bad thing. Work is good. And we're not simply living for, well, is Sabbath the best thing? Sabbath was a day off to focus on God. But God also created work. We're not this kind of people. There's an old song. I don't know if any, maybe some of the old timers remember this song. I think it was from the 80s. It says, everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody's living for the weekend. Everybody's working, you know. YouTube, just pop it up. I promise. It was a song. Everybody's working or living for the weekend. That's not what Christians are. That's not what God's purpose was for us. Like, hey, I can't wait till I rest, you know, and just do nothing, entertain myself. That's not the point of Sabbath. Sabbath was a rest, but it was a time to focus on God. And so work is good, but resting is good as well. And so they had this concept built in to focus on God and rest in him, trust in him, that God is their God. He loves them, and he takes care of them. And he was the model of that. God was the model of that, you know. He wanted to provide times of refreshing for his people, you know. We work hard 6 days, but our bodies, here's the thing we have to remember as Christians. We're not just a spirit. We're also a body, and we're going to be resurrected as spirit and body as well, or we can say soul and body. We're both. We're going to have physical bodies. Our bodies mean something. And so you guys know this. If you don't get a lot of sleep, you start acting a little loopy, right? You know. Are you loopy right now? You know, if you don't get a lot of sleep, you start hallucinating. You know if you don't take care of your body, it's going to be upsetting. And you think you can go on for a while, especially when you're young. But it's going to catch up with you. If you don't eat right, sleep right, if you don't get rest, it's going to catch up with you. And so God wants us to take care of this body. Of course, we can overdo it. I can sleep in every single day, not go to work, not go to church. Of course, there's the other side we can fall into of complete laziness. But God wants us to take care of our bodies, our physical body, our spiritual bodies. And Sabbath provides that wonderful time to say, look, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to just be focused on my crushing work. Remember, they're kind of an agrarian society. They're farmers. They work a lot with their hands, you know. But God says, just rest and focus on me. It's hard to focus a lot on God. It's hard to focus a lot on God if we're always working. And so Sabbath provides that time to slow down, contemplate, and worship God. You know, worship with his people. And God provides us that opportunity to do that. And so the Sabbath is good for us. It slows us down spiritually and physically, and we get to focus on the holiness of God. A day set aside for him, we get to see his holiness. Like, God, I'm focusing on you. You're holy. I'm not. I can live my life for his glory. And so this was built into the Old Testament, and they were supposed to carry this through every Saturday, just carry that through, not to profane the Sabbath. Of course, we know later they profaned. They did bad things on the Sabbath. Their heart also wasn't in it, and God got upset with them. And we know Israel got disciplined because they stopped following God, and they were disciplined, and they were sent out of the land. And even when they were disciplined, and the whole nation of Israel was exiled because of their sinful ways, their adultery, and their worship of other gods. When they were exiled, God said something about the land of Israel over there. He said, my land's having a Sabbath. I want to get you evil people off my land. My land needs to chill out. There's a few places in the scripture where it says that. There's blood on the land, right? So God's like, I'm going to have, my land's going to have Sabbath for 70 years, right? We've kind of been talking this about a little bit in young adults with Hosea, the discipline of God. For, you know, my land needs to have some Sabbath from you all. And that's what God was so upset with his people because they were sinning and going crazy. And it's interesting, this concept of Sabbath that God had to do. One of the things, too, and we're going to look at some New Testament passages, but one of the things about Sabbath as well is that, again, it's that trust in God. It says, hey, I don't have to work 24-7. I don't have to burn the candle at both ends. You know what I'm saying? Because if I'm doing that, I'm not meeting with God's people. I'm probably not doing a quiet time. I'm not seeking priority. God, work's important. God says we need to work to provide for family. But if I am working all the time, probably my God is money and not God. That's probably what's going on. Well, some people say, well, I have to work all the time. But that's what the church says. Well, if you're working 24-7, what can we do to help you? What can we do to alleviate this situation here? And that's where the church comes in to help. Someone's like, I just have to work. And it's part of the curse of our society, too, where today in the corporate world, you know, it's almost 24-7, right? It's almost all the time. Especially the internet now. You can't get away from work, right? You can't get away from it. You know, it's funny. I think I've said this before. My dad, he kind of joined the corporate world in the 1970s. And he said back then, he said, if you admitted in the 1970s that you didn't go to church in the corporate secular world, you were kind of looked down upon. And I'm like, I have no idea what that looks like, because today, if you admit you go to church on Sunday morning now in the corporate world, people look at you like, why? You know, what? Don't you, why? Do you have better things to do? Sleep in? Go to the beach? You know, why? You know, how things have changed in the United States, at least. We've gone from that Judeo-Christian culture to, you know, there were towns, different towns. There was a town my dad lived in for a while in New Jersey. You couldn't drive a car in the town on Sunday because they still had Sabbath rules. In fact, the law got changed. You know why? A drunk guy took his car to the town, and he got in trouble. And then he took the court to town, and the town had to get rid of that rule. Because of a drunk guy, right? So, we'll let people drive on Sunday. But it used to be malls were closed, gas stations were closed on Sunday. There was that Judeo-Christian culture. Not to say people were actually Christians necessarily, but there was that culture in the United States where we kind of said, hey, Sunday, we're gonna be with family, go to church, that's it. We don't have that anymore. We don't have that. And it's not all bad, because some of that was just cultural Christianity, which wasn't real Christianity. And now we who are here, hopefully we're here because we want to be here, right? We want to be worshiping with God. But there's a sense where there's a goodness to Sabbath and Sabbath rest. I had a Bible teacher. He said this. He said something interesting. Again, this is not scripture, but I think it's wise. He said, all of us, we have crazy busy days, most of us. He said, look, everybody needs a little quiet time in each and every day by ourselves with God, praying. And he says, once a week, we need to have like a little quiet time, maybe a longer period, you know, once a week. Then every year, we need a longer vacation, sabbatical. He said, we need times of rest. Israel had like three major holidays where God provided these things for people to eat and rest and enjoy God. And these things are good. And so, again, they worked like crazy. But God also said, you work and you also rest and focus on me. Now, let's turn to a New Testament passage, Hebrews 4:8-10. Hebrews 4:8-10. This is really interesting. This is the writer of Hebrews now commenting back on the Old Testament about something that happened about Sabbath. He says this, if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Now, what in the world is this passage saying? I kind of pulled it out of context. But if you know the story, God saved Israel. He gave them the law, followed Sabbath. They were in the desert, in the wilderness. Then God said, I'm taking you to a promised land flowing with milk and honey. And eventually, through a lot of trials, they got there with Joshua. Joshua, Battle of Jericho, all that stuff. He led them into the promised land. And God was going to give them, quote unquote, rest. A land flowing with milk and honey. And if they followed God, they would always have food. They would be a wonderful society, at peace, no enemies. God would take care of them that land. But he said, you have to follow me. And of course, we know the rest of the story. They didn't do a good job of that at all. And eventually, God had to discipline them. But it says here, Joshua, if he had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. In Scripture, God speaks of another rest. What is he talking about? There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever, verse 10, whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Ultimately, you know what Sabbath rest is all about? It's about what we sang about. Sabbath is actually about the gospel. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest. Jesus himself came down. He worked hard his whole life, never disobeyed. He died. He died as a sinless Savior, as a substitute for all would believe that he died for their sins. And then he was in the ground. He was in the ground. He died, literally went into the grave, as we sang about. He was having a Sabbath rest. It was literally on Sabbath. You guys remember that story? Literally, he was in the grave on the quiet Sabbath, kind of darkness and gloom. What happened to Jesus? We thought he's going to save us. He was Sabbath resting. And then he popped up out of the grave. He resurrected on Sunday, came alive, first day of the week, never to die again. And Jesus says, look, if you believe that I have died for your sins, I've taken them for you, and you believe that I've paid the penalty, you'll be saved from your sins, saved from death, and I'll give you eternal life. Because he resurrected, we know that. He's alive today. I'll give you eternal life, and you will have eternal rest. Rest with me. Rest with Christ. You will be with me forever in the new heavens and earth. No more pain, no more suffering. You will have peace and rest. And if Christ is your Savior and your Lord, you will have peace and rest. And it starts right now, guys, in our life. Here's the thing about our life. We have Sabbath right now. We have Sabbath. If we follow Jesus Christ, we can rest in Christ. As Ed prayed, even though we might be having a crazy week, even though you said we might be having family conflict, we might have lost our job. We might have had a bad medical diagnosis. Things might be going wrong, but at the end, I say, Jesus has won. He's conquered death. I know one day, even if I die right now, I'll be resurrected, and I'll live perfectly with God, with my family, for real. Jesus Christ, Jesus has become that rest for us. So just as we sang, I can rest in Christ today. You know, no matter what happens, whether I have a great day, whether I have a bad day, it's still Jesus, and he's my rest. I have peace on the inside because I'm resting my life in Christ. And this is what Sabbath points to. Just like everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus, Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And I can have a calm and a peace. Some of you guys know, non-Christians who don't know Christ, and sometimes I know people, they always seem to be worrying and fretting because they have no hope. They have no trust. What's tomorrow? I can't die. That's the end of it. Death, where is your sting? Death doesn't bother us anymore. Yes, it's still scary, but again, I know Christ wins. He's my hope. He's my life, and I know he's won. I can lay my head down at night despite all the anxieties and things that I think about at night. And sometimes we have sleepless nights. It happens, right? We're worrying about something. We got to say, God, this is in your hands. I know this is tough, but I can rest in you because you work all things for good. And you're God. And I can trust you. You're my Sabbath rest. I may be feeling anxiety, but Lord, I'm going to keep giving it to you. I'm going to trust you. You're with me all the way. You'll never leave me. And you will bring me home. He's my Sabbath rest. I love what it says here back in verse 10. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. You know, one day we're going to completely rest. We'll be done with our life here, and we'll live for God's glory perfectly in heaven. But also, you know, I just think, you think about this works. Think about this, right? Those of us without Christ, you know, we're trying to earn our salvation by every other religion is, I got to do something. I got to work at something to get myself saved, to help me get new life in heaven. I got to do something. I got to work hard. I got to be a nice person. Jesus says, stop, rest. I did it. I lived perfectly where you could not, and I died for you. Salvation is completely of God. We don't have to keep striving. We sang about we're caught in slavery in our sin without God. We're just restless, and we can't do it. We can't break out. We need to look to the cross and say, Jesus, you've done it. You've broken the chain, and I can rest in you. I can stop my works trying to achieve salvation. I can stop that. I don't have to do that anymore. At the same time, now that I'm saved, I have the freedom now, not because I'm earning my salvation. I already have my salvation. I can show Christ to others. I can love. I can love others who are hurting. I can have good conversations with those. I can give money to missions. You know, I can go on a mission trip. I can do whatever. I am free to serve God. And I can work for his glory because I'm free. Because Jesus is my Sabbath. And that's what we've got to remember. Jesus is my Sabbath. I want to pursue Christ. Now, again, some of you are like, well, how does this work? Are we supposed to keep the Sabbath, technically? Should we meet on Saturday? Should we be doing this? Well, Jesus himself, remember, when he came, he fulfilled all those Old Testament laws, those ceremonial laws. We don't have to sacrifice lamb anymore because he is the sacrifice. He's the final sacrifice. He's done. We don't have to do sacrifice of lambs. We don't have to, you know, if we have mold in our house, we don't have to move out for days. Although some of us should, you know. It might keel over, right? But we don't have to follow these ceremonial laws because Christ has become the fulfillment. He's fulfilled. He's made everything clean through his life, death, and resurrection. Now, morally, we still follow his moral laws. I love people. I serve people. That's what we have to do. But we don't have to fulfill this old ceremonial law of keeping, technically, the Sabbath day. In fact, I want to submit to you, every day is the Sabbath for a Christian. Really, every day is God's day. We live every day for God's glory. Now, I think the principle remains. We need to meet together as a church. If you're working 24/7, you ain't coming to church, right? You're not fellowshipping with your believers. You're not serving God. You are, if you're focused on school 24/7 or your work, you're not involved with the people of God. So that is sin. So there's a principle here where the church has, in the book of Acts, said we're going to come together on the first day of the week and meet together as a church. Do not forsake the assembly together of the church, the writer of Hebrews says. And so we come together still as a community, in a sense like Israel. We worship God together. We fellowship. We do good. But we don't keep the Saturday letter of the law anymore because that's been fulfilled. But the principle of Sabbath still remains. And Sabbath really is every day I live for God's glory. And there's a day where we really get together as a church and we love God together, we worship God together, we help each other together. And so that Sabbath principle remains. Check out Mark chapter 2. If you remember some of the stories of Jesus, the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, like, freaked out because they thought Jesus and his disciples were breaking the Sabbath law. But check this out. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields. This is Jesus and the disciples, and they made their way. His disciples began to pluck heads of grain, just, you know, plucking heads of grain. I want some cereal. I'm a little hungry, right? Plucking heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those whom were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So, you know, the Pharisees were saying, "Hey, you're working. You're gathering food on the Sabbath." And Jesus is saying, "You don't understand the Sabbath. You don't get it. Sabbath was not made." And what the Pharisees were doing, they were focused on the regulations and all these crazy burdens they were putting on people. He says, you don't get it. There's nothing wrong. In fact, you can eat on the Sabbath. That wasn't forbidden in the Old Testament. These disciples are doing God's work, and they're hungry. And there's nothing wrong with just, "Hey, it's time to eat. I'm going to pluck." But they're, "Oh, you're harvesting, you know. You're harvesting." The Pharisees were freaking out. Jesus says, "No, they're hungry. That was always, you can always eat on the Sabbath. It's for you. The Sabbath was made for people to be refreshed, to focus on God, to do good works." And the Pharisees had it backwards, and we know that. They had it backwards. And we have to be careful. This is subtle in Christianity. Are we focused on the rules, which are burdensome? Or are we focused on Christ and what he's done? When we focus on Christ, we're going to live a life of love for others. If we're focused on rules, following rules won't save you, because that's earning your salvation. Not to say some rules in the New Testament church aren't bad. We want to obey God. But we obey God because God has already loved us. He's already freed us to obey him. And we do it out of worship, not because I'm earning my righteousness through following laws. So Jesus said, the Sabbath is made for man. It's given to you as a gift, out of grace. And Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He is God. He has the right definition on what Sabbath is. Check out this verse, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, 9 through 14. Matthew 12, 9 through 14. He went on from there, this is Jesus, and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which of one of you has a sheep? If it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And they said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. You see what Jesus is doing here? You see this? He said, "Look, you guys, you help your animals out, you feed your animals, you take care of people. How much more someone who is physically maimed, and you're not going to lift a finger to help them?" He says, "You understand the Sabbath. Sabbath is doing good to people, showing mercy and compassion. And he is Lord of the Sabbath." He quotes elsewhere to the Pharisees, you know, God wants your heart, not sacrifice, not regulation, not sacrifice just out of regulation. God wants your heart. Mercy. Sabbath was for God, for showing good to people. It was a time to be refreshed. And Jesus wants to save people. And the Pharisees were keeping people from God because he said, "Focused on the rules, become like us, cool Pharisees," and they were not focused on God. And Jesus said, "No, we do good." And that's for the New Testament church. We need to be people who always are showing compassion and mercy. I want to get someone to Jesus Christ. No matter what day it is, I am going to get people closer to Christ. I'm going to help people. Any opportunity I have, every day is Sabbath for us. Even if it's an inconvenience to us, I am going to do it. And this is the principle here of Sabbath. This is what God wants us to do. Again, remember, Sabbath is saying to God, it's an act of trust. It's a trust, saying, God, you've got this world. I will trust you that you made this world. You work all things for good. I don't have to go crazy and try to control everything. See, I think that's a sense of Sabbath. I don't have to control. And I do. Does anybody try to control everything? I do. Right? I do. I try to control everything. Doesn't work, right? And get rid of that anxiety. Get rid of that trust God. You know, one of the most spiritual things we can do is sometimes take a nap, right? Take a nap. Sometimes we're ornery. We're working so hard. We're doing all these things. We're snipping at people we know because we're grouchy. God just doesn't, hey, stop. Sunday afternoon, take a nap. Just and you're trusting God because I can't control anything when I'm sleeping. You know, I can't even control my dreams. What was that? I tell my wife when I wake up. What do you know? What kind of dream I had? You know, I can't control anything when I sleep. I'm trusting God and saying the world is okay. It's in God's hands. I trust God. And God, remember, God completely saved us. We didn't earn our salvation again. Look, here's practically. Look at Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. This is what it plays out in our heart. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God literally says, don't be anxious for anything. Now, I know that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to get rid of that feeling of anxiety. You know, I feel a little weird, you know. I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I keep giving it to God. God, it's in your hands. God, it's in your hands. I trust you. I'm going to go serve you. Whatever I'm worrying about, you know, I need money. You know, I got a problem with my kid. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to pray. And God, you've got this situation. In fact, you've ordained this situation. Do not be anxious for anything. You know, don't freak out about anything. We know we're going to fail. We're going to fall. We're going to be worrisome. But we have to take that worry and put it back in God's hands. That's Sabbath. That's trusting in the Lord of the Sabbath. In fact, here's an interesting passage. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and they were talking about these issues of Sabbath, right in the context in Matthew, it says this. Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29. I think this is very interesting. It's in the same context of Sabbath. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. If you can throw that up there. If it's there, yeah. Come to me, Jesus says, all who what labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Praise God. Jesus says, look, if you come to me, my yoke is easy, it's light. Come over to me. I'll put my arm around you. That's my light. That's my light. Yes, we have to obey God. And yes, there's suffering in this world. But knowing Jesus, wow, you're my life. You've saved me. I'm secure in God. He loves me forever. He's my wonderful Father, my brother Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. He'll never leave me. God is our Sabbath. The Pharisees were doing the opposite. They made a minutia of rules and regulations where people were just like, I can't do this. I'm a horrible sinner. You know, they made up laws that weren't even in the Bible. You know, I don't know what they were like, right? You know. Crazy laws and rules to try to earn their. And God's like, no, I'm not like that. My yoke is easy. Yes, he deals with sin. Sin is serious. But Jesus took it for us. Praise God. And so, go to Christ. If you're like, man, I feel burdened today, give your burden to Christ. And remember, Christ wants to carry that. Christ wants to carry your burden. And sometimes he'll allow you to have these tough things because he wants you to learn how to trust him. And he's going to work something good. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but give that burden. God, I'm going to give this burden to you, and I'm going to go forward in serving you. I don't know what will happen, but God, you're good and you're powerful. I'll trust you. Whatever comes. And it doesn't mean you'll get healed of cancer. It doesn't mean you'll have food on the table. It doesn't mean that. But I have Christ. That's all I need. And I'm going to show Jesus to others that he saved me. I'm going to get all the food and stuff I want in heaven. But for this life, I'm going to show others that Christ saves from sins and that he's good. Every day is the Lord's day. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. And I want you to think about as we take the Lord's Supper, this symbol in physical form of what Christ did. You know, just think about the fact that what happened on Sabbath, right? It looked like everything was over and done. Like, we can't trust God because this guy we thought would save us from Rome is in the ground. And God was still working on that quiet Sabbath day after Jesus had died. God was still working. We got to remember that for us. Christ, you are my Savior. You have worked in my life, and you're still working even when it's dark. And one day, we're going to be resurrected. Ask Deacon Sam if you can come forward. Who can take the Lord's Supper? All of those who have believed in Christ as Savior and Lord, and those who have been publicly baptized as a demonstration of our faith in Christ. And so let me pray over the bread. Heavenly Father, God, you are Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus, you're our Sabbath. You're the temple. You're the Sabbath. You're the sacrifice. God, salvation is completely of you. You gave us Sabbath to rest in you. Lord, I just pray that if anyone here is struggling in their life and they know that they're far from God, I pray that they would just in their heart today just say, Christ, I need you. I need you as my Savior. I need you to forgive my sins. I repent. I ask forgiveness for my sins. I know that I have sinned in my heart, sinned against others. And the penalty of that is eternal hell. It's a just punishment, Lord, because you're eternal and you're perfect. You can't abide evil. But I pray that today, if anyone does not know you, they would say, Jesus, I need you because you died. You died for sinners. And Jesus says, if you believe that I've died for your sins in your place, I will forgive your sins and give you new life through my resurrection. Would you give your heart to Christ today and say, I want to rest in you starting today. I want to trust you that you've got everything taken care of, God, and that you love me. And secondly, for us who are Christians, who are believers, Lord, that God, we would learn to trust in you every day, that we would focus on you and seek your face in the good times and the bad times. And bad times will come. And God say, you're my rest, God, in the storm. You're my fortress. You're my shelter. God, your hands are always right around me. And God, you want to use us to bring others to Christ. And God, just use us for your kingdom. And help others see this wonderful rest we have. This wonderful Savior who walks with us. And Lord, as we eat the bread, help us remember what it cost Christ. He took on the burden of our sin. He threw off his easy yoke, and he took on the yoke of our sin at the cross to become like us. And he gave his body for us, Lord. So help us reflect on that, God. Help us, if we're carrying sin, confess it before we take the bread and cup. Determined to get things right, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all you've done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.